This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
11 minutes after 6 on this Friday morning from WSMI, WSMI FM 106, with part 1 of the Morning Ag Show, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you, Randy, and good morning. Starting off with your grain futures from the Chicago Board of Trade on this Friday morning, corn for May finished 2 cents higher yesterday at 362. July corn finished 2 cents higher as well at 370.5. And September corn was 1.5 cents higher to 377.75. May soybeans lost 9 cents to 830.5. July beans were down 8.5 to 843.25. And August beans were down 8.5 as well to 849.5. May wheat was up 8.25 to 433.25. July wheat was up 8 to 444. And September wheat was up 8.5 to 451.75. On to soybean meal. May bean meal was down $3.60 to $292.40. July bean meal was down $3.40 to $296.90. And August bean meal was down $3.30 to $298.30. Soybean oil for May was down 15 cents to $27.23. July bean oil was down 15 cents as well to $27.50. And August bean oil lost 17 cents to $27.63. And in energy futures, June crude oil was $1.96 lower per barrel to $61.64. Now we'll turn it over to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for yesterday's cash grain reports.
This is Thursday's reported grain price and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices are mixed on Thursday afternoon with more rain in the forecast. Corn closed higher with delayed plantings. And soybeans are pressured with concerns that corn acres could be turned to soybean acres because of the delayed plantings. In northern West Illinois country grain, needles quoted shell corn bids 1 to 2 cents higher, 320 to 353. Soybean bids are down 8 to 11 cents, 749 to 799. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 1 to 3 cents higher, 333 to 354. Soybean bids are down 10 cents at 771 to 802. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 2 to 3 cents higher, 335 to 366. Soybean bids are down 9 to 12 cents at 778 to 819. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids are down 9 cents at 808 to 818, basically was steady at 3500 to 2500 of July. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at 275.90 to 296.90, with basis up 1 to 8 at 2100 to option July. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 2 cents higher at 351 to 371, with basis steady at 2000 to option July. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted to producer corn bids mixed at 361 to 368, with basis mixed at 10 under to 3 under the July. Soybeans ended down 9 to 12 cents at 805 to 814, with basis steady to down 3 at 38 under to 29 under the July. New crop wheat prices were 8 cents higher at 414 to 436, with basis unchanged at 30 under to 8 under the July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 2 cents higher, 383 to 384. These elevators lowered their soybean prices 8 to 9 cents, quotations at 834 to 836. Soft wheat closed up 8 cents at 473 to 474, and Milo ended the day 2 cents higher, 374 to 376. Contract bids for producers for October and November delivery at 328 to 357. Soybeans at 780 to 810, and in the southern part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 344 to 362. Soybeans at $8 to 821. And in the southern part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 323 to 362. Soybeans at 790 to 821. And June, July wheat at 418 to 449. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to your livestock futures from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. June live cattle were down 20 cents to 113.67. August live cattle were down 80 cents to 110.17. And October live cattle were down $1.02 to 110.67. Feeder cattle for May were down $2.40 to 138.97. August feeders were down $1.32 to 147.90. And September feeder cattle were down $1.80 to $148.50. Finally, lean hogs for May were down $1 to $86.10. June lean hogs were up $1.52 to $92.75. And July lean hogs were up 15 cents to $95.52. Now we'll turn it over to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield once more this morning for Thursday's Cash Livestock Reports.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Thursday afternoon livestock report. Starting at the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for 200-pound pork carcass traded $1.50 lower, in a range of $72 to $83, with a weighted average carcass price of $78.98. From the Illinois Direct Sow Port, slaughter sow prices were sharply higher, with very good demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded $55 to $65, 4 to 5 weighted $58 to $68. 5 to 6 weighted 61 to 72 and over 600 pounds 63 to $75. In the Illinois direct hog trade, prices of barrels and gilts country buying points were firm, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $53 to $58. Receipts for Illinois barrels and gilts have totaled $21,040. In the direct cattle trade, in the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, choice steers and live bases trade at $121 to $126.50. And on the dress base at $195 to $200. Choice heifers and live bases trade at $121 to $124. And on a dress base at $195 to $200. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was Dallas, 239 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $83.92, which is $1.93 higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Port, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading lower. Choice carcasses are $228.80, which is $1.42 lower, while select carcasses are $215.08, which is $2.42 lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at $122,000 compared to $121,000 for last week and $121,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at $474,000 compared to $471,000 last week and $460,000 one year ago. A recap of the Greenville Livestock Auction for Wednesday, May 1st, had receipts of 954. Compared to 2 weeks ago, slaughter steers sold 2.25 lower, slaughter Holsteins sold $1 lower, and slaughter heifers sold 2.50 lower. Slaughter steers choice at $125 to $131, slaughter Holstein steers choice at $83 to $90, and slaughter heifers choice at $124 to $130. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that's all for part one of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto of Litchfield and by Farm Credit Illinois. Part two of the Morning Ag Show brought to you this morning by CHS, farmer-owned with global connections, and by the CNB Bank and Trust, with 19 locations to serve you. And once again, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you, Randy. More than a dozen oil state senators want the Environmental Protection Agency to reset the nation's renewable fuel standards ethanol mandate, returning renewable fuel use to below the 10% blend wall threshold. 15 oil patch senators, led by Oklahoma's Jim Inhofe, wrote EPA Chief Andrew Wheeler to reset RFS volumes to a pre-blend wall level of 9.7%. Renewable Fuels Association head Jeff Cooper reacted.
The letter that was sent to EPA was very frustrating and disappointing, but not entirely surprising. That's the same message we've been hearing from that crowd for many years.
Cooper says the oil industry doesn't want to give up any more market share to ethanol, but argues the RFS statute was never meant to keep the status quo, and big oil knew that from the start.
It was always the expectation in 2007, when Congress passed the expanded RFS, that these volumes were going to grow on an annual basis, that we were going to push beyond E10 blends, that we were going to need blends like E15 and E85.
As for the timing of the oil patch senator's letter, just as the EPA readies to finalize a rule to allow year-round E15 sales.
Well, I think the oil guys are threatened by the fact that this rulemaking on E15 is about to conclude. On balance, we do expect that it will allow retailers to sell E15 year round. And that's what we've been asking for. That's what we've been wanting for 7 or 8 years now. And I think that concerns the oil guys and threatens them somewhat.
The Inhofe letter also comes ahead of the EPA's annual RFS rulemaking later this year, when the agency will again set specific target volumes for biofuels. Farmers now have until May 17th to certify acres to receive payments from the Market Facilitation Program. Michael Clemens has more from Washington.
The Department of Agriculture has extended the deadline to certify acres from May 1st to May 17th for payments from the Market Facilitation Program. Dave Salmonson, Senior Director of Congressional Relations at the American Farm Bureau Federation, says the deadline extension allows farmers who are facing delays to wrap up needed paperwork.
The Farm Service Agency did this because they know that many producers were having a hard time getting out there to get their acres certified. Harvesting was delayed because of the rainfall and snowfall events we had across many parts of the country. So a little extra time to get the paperwork done and make sure people get the payments that they're eligible for.
Salmonson says producers must turn in their crop production for 2018 on acres for which they will receive payments.
They have to know their production because that's what the payments are based on. So they need to have that information in and any other information that the FSA office would require from them. So get it done as soon as possible and make sure information is complete.
The program covers a variety of commodities that were harmed by retaliatory tariffs and provides a set rate per unit of production.
They'll be paid on what's called the MFP rate for that commodity. Of course, we have to remember this was all based on the impact retaliatory tariffs placed on the U.S. by countries last year on that commodity. Get all the information that you need to make sure this happens. Make sure you're in contact with your local FSA office, or you can go on the website farmers.gov.
Michael Clements, Washington.
In other ag news from Washington, the Transporting Livestock Across America Safely Act was introduced in the Senate earlier this week. Now House Ag Committee Chair Colin Peterson and Greg Pence of Indiana introduced H.R. Bill 2460, the Modernizing Agricultural Transportation Act. The legislation is a companion to a Senate bill introduced last February and already drawing bipartisan supporters. It would already require the Secretary of Transportation to establish a working group to study regulatory and legislative improvements for the livestock and agricultural commodities transport industries. The working group would then be charged with presenting a report to the Secretary of Agriculture that would identify the initiatives and regulatory changes that maintain and protect the safety of highways and allow for safe, efficient, and productive marketplace transport of livestock and agricultural commodities. Steve Hilker, U.S. Cattlemen's Association Transportation Committee Chair, says they appreciate Congress working to come up with solutions to allow for the safe and efficient movement of cattle throughout the country. New regulations imposed in 2017 don't work for the livestock transportation industry, Hilker says. We've been working with members of Congress and the administration to find regulations that enhance highway safety while also allowing haulers to deliver their cargo as humanely as possible. And while on the subject of livestock, as one of three 2019 pig farmers of tomorrow, Ben Wickner is proud to represent the next generation of pork production.
We are here to take on the challenge of telling our We Care story and telling about how pigs are raised in modern production. And secondly, I'd just like to share that we eat and consume the same pork as everybody else. When I go to the grocery store, I know that an American farmer put that pork there and that it's a safe, wholesome product. And I feel safe feeding that to myself, my family, and any of my friends, and I want the consumer to know that.
Wickner is part of the family swine operation at Farmersburg, Iowa.
We have a sow farm in northeast Iowa. My dad started our sow farm in the 70s, so I'll be a second-generation farmer, and I'm pretty proud of that. We raise corn, soybeans, and then we have we raise piglets until 3 weeks old, where they, from there they go on to the finisher. This is something that I was born and raised into ever since I can remember. I was outside helping feed pigs or follow dad around, so it's always been something that's kind of been in my life.
The winners will speak at pork checkoff events and provide content on hashtag RealPigFarming, which is the pork industry's social media program. In other national ag news, West Virginia and Illinois farmers are submitting an increasing number of applications to grow industrial hemp this year. The West Virginia Agriculture Department says the number of licenses issued to farmers grew from 46 last year to 158 this year. The agency also said the number of acres dedicated to hemp farming will grow this year as well. It's a big jump as farmers planted 155 acres of hemp last year and plan to put in over 1,500 acres this year. West Virginia Ag Commissioner Kent Lionheart says farmers are excited to have a new crop to plant. Illinois farmers also have a growing desire to plant industrial hemp this year as well. The Chicago Tribune says farmers have swamped Illinois regulators with requests to grow the crop, and they did so as soon as the application process began. Since Tuesday of this week, nearly 300 farmers have asked to grow industrial hemp. Another 74 applications to process the crop have also came in. The Illinois Department of Agriculture has already approved 100 of those applications to grow the crop and another 29 licenses to process it. Officials say their goal is to approve more licenses in time for spring planting. Moving on to state ag news, Western Illinois Congresswoman Sherry Bustos continues to bring attention to aging locks and dam infrastructure. She was questioned about the issue during a House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee hearing this week in Washington.
Most of the barge traffic that we have in our area that we can see every single day that we're at home, although flooding, by the way, is out of control right now. There was two levees broke in Davenport, Iowa just yesterday, so we've got a big problem there. But most of those barges are carrying corn and beans. So it is one of the most efficient, if not the most efficient way to carry our corn and our beans to market. So it's critical, and how our family farmers get to the barges through our rural roads and our bridges, again, absolutely critical. We hear the stories, and I know you do as well, Congresswoman, of farmers who have to take the long route because the bridge is out. All of this is just absolutely critical to keeping down the cost that our families have to spend on their food supply. Your district is mostly rural, my district is mostly rural, and that's why I just wanted to make sure that we drew attention to this today.
Bustos serves on the House Appropriations Committee and supports a major infrastructure package that would include significant funding for such areas as locks and dams, roads and bridges, airports, and rural broadband improvements. U.S. Representative Rodney Davis yesterday announced the USDA has awarded the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign a $378,000 grant as part of their Agriculture and Food Research Initiative to provide hands-on educational experiences for research and to fill workforce gaps in the country's food, agriculture, and related industries. Davis serves on the House Agricultural Committee and is co-chair of the House Agriculture Research Caucus, as well as being a strong advocate for AFRI funding. Ensuring we have the research and workforce necessary to further agriculture successes is not just important for Illinois, but for our national economy, said Davis. We need to fill these gaps in our workforce, and the College of ACES at the U of I is one of the best programs in the nation to help us do that. I'm proud to be a strong supporter of this program and agricultural research. This year alone, Davis has helped secure a 5% increase in funding for the USDA's National Institute of Food and Agriculture program from fiscal year 2018, and recently led a bipartisan letter signed by 111 of his colleagues advocating for robust funding for USDA NIFA Agriculture and Food Research Initiative in the 2020 appropriations bill. And finally, moving on to events going on in the local area, don't forget that today the Montgomery County Master Gardeners plant sale will be taking place from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. and again tomorrow on Saturday starting at 9 a.m. This sale will be taking place at the parking lot of Mary Brown Insurance at 919 South Main in Hillsboro. You don't want to miss this opportunity to prepare for Mother's Day with a great selection of 10-inch premium hanging baskets. You can choose from assorted colors with a variety of sun and shade plants. All plants are $15, and proceeds will go to benefit the 129th Montgomery County Farmers Institute. And if you need more information, you can call the Montgomery County Extension Office at 532-3941. Also going on this weekend, the Litchfield and North Mac FFA chapters will be holding respective plant sales. The Litchfield FFA chapter's plant sale will be taking place tomorrow, Saturday, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the greenhouse at the Litchfield High School. And the North Mac FFA chapter will be holding their plant sale Sunday afternoon, the 5th, from noon until 3 at the greenhouse at the Verdon High School. These are both great opportunities to support your local FFA chapter and find a gift for Mom for Mother's Day or find a variety of garden plants. If you have the chance, you should come on out and support the North Mac and Litchfield FFA chapters this weekend at their respective greenhouses. And for this Friday morning, May 3rd, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.